of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. We'll read the first 20 verses of the chapter, and the text this morning will be verse 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Thus far we read God's word. The text this morning is verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's ask God's blessing on the preaching in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we've heard this passage of Scripture many times. We've heard sermons on it before, too. But we pray that our consideration of this text this morning would serve to work in our hearts and strengthen us by the work of the Holy Spirit so that we would see our sin, we would see our need for this Savior that the angels announced, and that we as well would be dedicated in our lives again to glorifying Thy name and living in peace with one another. So we pray, Father, that Thou wilt work powerfully by Thy Spirit in our hearts this morning. May Thy name be glorified and praised through this. Give strength to Thy servant as he brings this word also. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 2 is the record of a most amazing event, followed by an outstanding announcement that ends with a choir of angels singing praise to God. When you put all of that together and see it all together, how amazing is what we've read this morning. But we have to remember that sometimes when something is familiar to us, it can become ordinary and monotone and even dull, so that we don't hear it like we should and we don't consider it like we should. Now, of course, we can't go back and pretend that this is just the first time we're hearing these words of the angels or the first time that we are reading this history, but we have to acknowledge that sometimes that can be the case for us. That can be the case in our everyday lives. At the beginning of the winter, we see the snowfall, and then yesterday, how beautiful it was, wasn't it? With the ice on the branches and the snow covering that, and then the sun comes out. And we can see the beauty of it when that comes in February and March. The beauty of it's worn off, and we're ready for spring. Or we hear the Christmas songs played time and time again, and by the end of this Christmas season, maybe we've had enough of some of those songs, and we're ready for some of the other songs that we love to listen to as well. Well, that can happen sometimes when we consider the events of the birth of Jesus Christ and even the announcement of His birth. We've heard it so many times, we become dull to it. May that not happen to us. May that not happen to us this morning. But rather, let us see how truly amazing all of this is. The amazing event is the Son of God being born into this world. The amazing event is the incarnation, the Son of God becoming flesh and then born of a virgin, and God controlling everything so that He was born there in that little village of Bethlehem. And there is an amazing announcement. An angel comes to shepherds who are nearby on that day when Jesus was born. And that angel announces to the shepherds that something amazing has happened in Bethlehem. And that thing that is amazing is what's announced in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, who is the Lord. He is born. That's the amazing announcement. And then as that announcement ends, there's this choir of angels that appears, and they sing that song that we have here in the text. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What an amazing thing it must have been for the shepherds to hear that choir of angels. We maybe recently have heard outstanding choirs sing the Messiah some time ago. Covenant choir or school choirs, our church choir. We've heard wonderful songs, but how amazing it must have been to hear this choir of angels sing. Now, we don't have the record of that. We don't have a YouTube video of that. But what we do have are the words of that song. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. And there's nothing monotone. There's nothing dull. There's nothing ordinary about this song. And that's evident from the three main words. And we're going to focus on these three main words of the song. The three main words of the song are glory, peace, and then goodwill, which really points us to the grace of God. So glory, peace, and grace. Those are the three words of this song we want to focus on this morning, because these three words of the song point out three things to us. First of all, in these three words, we see the greatness of our sin. These words teach us about our sin and our need for Christ. Secondly, these words teach us about our Savior who is come into the world. This is part of the announcement of the angels. So we have to see Christ in these words, in glory and peace and grace. And finally, these three words, glory, peace, and grace, teach us how we are to live as God's people in this world, how we are to live in thankfulness to our God. So that's the three, those basically are the three points of the sermon this morning. Under the theme, the announcement doxology, looking at the doxology part of the announcement of the angels. We notice first, announcing our sin problem. Secondly, announcing our beautiful Savior. And finally, announcing our new response, how we are to live before God. This song, this doxology sung by the angels here at the time of Jesus' birth, first of all, teaches us about our sin problem. We maybe wouldn't look at the words that way. We'd see the focus on Christ. We would see how we are to live as we make these words our own. But first of all, these words teach us about our sin problem. That's because, first of all, generally, these words are part of the announcement that the Savior has come. The Savior that was promised in the Old Testament by God in numerous promises given to His people and in all of the types or pictures of the Old Testament. Well, why did the Savior come? Well, He's come to save us from sin. So we see and understand then from the very announcement and this being part of the announcement that it points out our sin to us. The backdrop of this doxology and why there is praise to God is because He has sent the one who can and does deliver us from our sin. That's what comes out in that concept of grace in the Scriptures, right? Undeserved favor. I'm a sinner who doesn't deserve the favor of God. But more specifically, this doxology points out our sin problem in the other two words we want to focus on. Glory and peace. We don't live to glorify God like we should because of our sinfulness. As sinners, we of ourselves do not live to glorify God, and because of our sin, we do not have true peace with God. So this doxology, first of all, points out our sin problem. There are two parts to that. First of all, we want to focus on the glory problem that is ours. We have a glory problem. The words of the doxology are glory to God in the highest. What does that mean? Well, the idea when the angels sang this is praise to God. Praise to God in the highest. Praise to God who is exalted over all, who is in heavenly glory. But to truly appreciate these words that the angels sang, we have to first see what these words say about ourselves. God created man to live with His glory in view. We were created this way from the very beginning. God created us so that the principal motivation in all of life would be to glorify His great name. So the glorification of His name would be the motivation of our lives. We were created that way. We were created to live a God-focused life and a God-glorifying life. That's the way Adam and Eve were created at the very beginning, so that as they saw God in the creation, they would see the greatness and the majesty of God and praise Him for that. And so we were created in the same way, so that when we see the snow and the ice and the cold, maybe like we saw it yesterday, that right away our thoughts would go to God and how great and glorious He is. Or when we see a sunset or a sunrise that's beautiful because of the sunshine shining on the clouds and the rays of sun lighting the earth, that we would glorify and praise Him, that we would glorify and praise God as we look to the spouse that God has given, that we glorify and praise Him as we look to the children that God has given to us or the parents God has given to us. But this is not the way it is for us because of the sin of Adam and Eve and our sin in them. You see, they chose glory for themselves over a life of glorifying God. We read there in Genesis 3 that Eve wanted to be like God. The glory that was reserved for God, she wanted for herself, and Adam wanted the same thing. And now we, as sinful people who have corrupt natures of ourselves, we have this same problem. We want to be like God. We want the glory that's reserved for God to be our glory. We want everything to be about ourselves. And so as God's people, we have these glories that are competing in our lives, living to the glory of God and then wanting glory for ourselves. And many times we want glory for ourselves instead of giving glory to God. What that means for us is that of ourselves, we are glory thieves. The angels here in the song sing glory to God in the highest, Our actions often say about ourselves, glory to me in the highest. That so often is what we want. Just reflect upon that a little bit today. How is that true in our lives? How is that true maybe in the past weeks? Maybe you went to the store in the past weeks and you were in lines because there's so many people there. Or you're trying to get out of the mall or out of the store and there's all kinds of cars and it's slow going and you have to be somewhere. And the first thought in our minds probably was not, most likely it was not, well, God's sovereign and He's brought all of this here in this situation before my life. Or think about the materialism of our day. What materialism is glorying in the things of this world instead of glorying in God. And so glorying in the things of this earth that we would think that the things of this world would satisfy and they would bring us happiness. I can't live without this. That's what the world is telling us. That's what so many in the world are focused on. And we buy into that materialism of our age. Or think about times of conflict. Times of conflict. And what often happens in times of conflict for us when we're self-focused is that I want to be right and I want the other person or other people that I have a conflict with to bow before my greatness and my rightness so that I would see that and that they would acknowledge that instead of humbling ourselves and doing what God calls us to do. That never leads to satisfaction. It never leads to peace with God. These things are not the Messiah. And so we have to see, first of all, in these words, our glory problem. Not only do we have a glory problem, but we also have a peace problem. Glory and peace are related. The angels give glory to God. They praise God here in this song because of the peace that God gives. Wonderful and amazing peace. But that shows that the two are related. There is praise because there is peace. Now, the opposite is true, too. We don't glorify God like we should because we seek peace in the wrong things. But to understand that, we have to understand what this peace is. What is peace? We have to see it in relationship to God. Peace with God is, first of all, not being the enemy of God. So peace is the opposite of war. We're not at war with God, but it's more than that. To have peace with God is to have friendship with God. And when we have peace with God, the understanding is that peace with God, our friendship with God, is the most important thing. The most important thing in all of life is to have peace with God. Because if you don't have peace with God, if I don't have peace with God, you know what that means. It means to be under His wrath. Not just in this life, but in that which is to come. Peace with God is most precious and most important. But again, we have to go back to the beginning. God created man to have this relationship with Him. We were created so that the most important relationship in our lives was our relationship with God. And so we were created in Adam to obey God, to worship God, to follow God in all of life. How wonderful is that peace? But this peace does not come from within. Peace does not come from ourselves. Peace doesn't come from knowing how strong and how wise and how smart we all are. It doesn't come from trying to control everything in our lives, but instead, true peace comes from knowing that there is a God who is in control of all things. There is a God who is all-knowing, who's all-wise, and that's the one true and living God, Jehovah. And when we know that, there comes peace into our souls. That peace, or part of that peace, is rest. Free from anxiety, free from worry, there's rest in relationship with God. We have a peace problem, though. We don't have this peace of ourselves because of the sin of Adam and Eve and because of our own sin. Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember that time when Jesus came down to commune with them in the cool of the day. And normally, that was a beautiful thing for Adam and Eve, but this time it wasn't. They didn't run to meet God. They weren't excited to meet God. They were hiding in fear and guilt. Why? Because they disobeyed the Word of God. They didn't know peace with God. Peace was shattered, and peace was shattered because of their own sin. And now this affects us too. We have a peace problem. We live in a world that wants peace, but they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. We live in a world that's full of fear and anxiety and anger and frustration and depression and hopelessness. And that's because they're not finding and they don't know peace in God. But now, as we live in that world, what about ourselves? Are we filled with anxieties and fears? Are we laying in our beds at night? Our stomachs are turning as we're mulling in our own minds the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens in this situation that I'm facing in my life? In addition, our peace problem is this. Not only do we at times struggle with knowing peace with God because of our sin, but part of that is in our relationships with each other. There's conflict. Is there anyone here that has lived a conflict-free life in the past year? What about in the past month? What about in the past week? What about this morning, getting ready for church? Or any sharp words spoken even this morning? Our sin against God affects our relationships with each other. It affects our marriages. It affects our relationships with our kids. It affects friendships and relationships within the church as well. And that's because we look at relationships from a selfish perspective. Our focus in ourselves. It's what we want. We want anything, everything to revolve around ourselves. And this shows this morning as well, we've got a sin problem in our hearts. It's a glory problem, and it's a peace problem. We have to see that from the words of the angels here when they sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." We see here something we don't have of ourselves and something we can't do of ourselves. We need to understand that. We need to meditate upon that as we remember the wonder of the birth of our Savior. But we don't stop there. This isn't a one-point sermon this morning. Thankfully, it's not. There's the next point. We see in this doxology as well the announcement of our beautiful Savior. This doxology is part of the announcement of our Savior's birth. There is praise, there is glory, there is peace because Jesus came to save us from our sins. So in this song, we hear the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let's look at that for a moment from the perspective of the angels who sang this song. The angels here sing this doxology because of what God has done and will do to save His people in Jesus Christ. The angels are looking at what has happened and what will happen from a heavenly perspective. Just think about that. The angels here, as they sing, aren't simply on an errand of God doing this mechanically. It's not just God saying to the angels, "You go sing this song of praise to the shepherds." No, the angels, you have to understand, are singing this song as those who are overwhelmed as well by the amazing things that God has done and is doing for His sinful people. The angels here are in awe as they sing. They sing with feeling this song of praise to God, even though we don't hear it. We don't hear the tune of it and so on. We still know that and believe that, that they sang it to praise God. They're moved in the depths of their own beings to praise the God of salvation. You see, the angels, they knew that one who was born in Bethlehem. They knew him in heavenly glory. They saw him in all his glory, all his riches that he had there in glory. The angels also know the fall of man into sin. And they know that God gives the Savior we need to save us from our sins. So the angels are in awe of this unspeakable gift to those who don't deserve it. We will echo this song of praise in our hearts and with our mouths when we are in awe of the great things that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that's the question for us today. When we see our glory problem and peace problem, it's only then that we're truly going to be thankful for the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done. We have, over the past 3 weeks, looked at the mission or the purpose for which God sent his Son. We've looked at different passages that spoke of that. That he came to call sinners to repentance. That he came to send not peace between all men, but the sword. Now we have the other peace, the peace that there is between God and his people here in this passage, in contrast to that. And then also we looked, just this past Sunday, that the fact that Jesus came to do the will of his Father, and that will of his Father was obeying that will to the death of the cross. We've looked at the mission and purpose of Jesus coming, and what we've seen is that it was not a political mission. It was not a political mission that Jesus came for to establish an earthly kingdom. It was not an educational mission that God gave to Jesus Christ to simply give education and knowledge to people. He did come to reveal God and his plan of salvation, but it wasn't simply about education. It was not a psychological mission that Jesus came to make everybody to feel good about themselves, no matter how they are or what they are doing. Jesus' mission was so much higher than all of this. He came to bring peace. That's what we have to see in that word peace. Remember, looking at those three main words. Now we're changing the order a bit. I'm going to focus first of all on peace. Jesus Christ came to bring peace. You see, my problem is not my relationships or the situation that I'm in right now. My problem, my sin problem is this, of myself. I don't have friendship with God. Of myself, I'm the enemy of God. What I need most, more than anything else, is I need peace with God. That's what Jesus Christ came to give us. That's what this song says. He came to bring peace. Peace with God. The way the scriptures point that out to us is that Jesus came for the work of reconciliation. To reconcile us to God. We read of that, for example, in Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verses 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Right in those two verses, you have exactly what I've just been saying. We of ourselves are the enemies of God. We're against God. But we've been reconciled to God. We've been made the friends of God through Jesus Christ by his atoning death on the cross of Calvary. Our Savior is the Prince of Peace. We're familiar with that name. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Here the angels are declaring in that word peace that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He gives us friendship with God. But there's more to it than that. There's more to the work of Jesus Christ. We've seen also that we have a heart problem, don't we? Our heart problem is this, my heart and your heart. Spiritually, they're dead of themselves. We need a new heart. David was right when he cried out in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." That's what we need, a new heart. We need radical, personal, long-term heart change. And Jesus Christ came to give that to us. Some people need a physical heart transplant. Their heart's not working like it should. Or they need another organ transplant because that organ's not working like it should. And when it's not working like it should, they'll die. We need something more important than a physical heart transplant or a physical kidney transplant. What we need is a spiritual heart transplant. And that's what happens in the wonder of regeneration, where that hard, stony heart that will not repent of sin, that rejects the Word of God and rejects Jesus Christ, is replaced with a soft, fleshy heart that is humbled, that repents, that turns from sin. Jesus Christ is the one who gives such a new heart. He's the one who makes it so that we are able to praise and glorify God. Because He's the one who delivers us from self-glorification so that we live for the glory of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. That we're delivered by, that the deliverance that we have is that we no longer serve ourselves, but we serve Him who died for us and rose again. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. He gives us hearts that are captivated by the glory of God. Because of this, we're able to live as the friends of God, and we're able to live in peace with one another. These two main words of the text, glory and peace, point out the mission of Jesus Christ. He gives us peace with God through reconciliation and the strength to live to glorify God in all of life because of regeneration. We have to see how wonderful that is. Because the alternative is this. We would only live for small personal self-glories. And that's awful. We would live then not caring about having peace with God. How awful that is. And we would live continuing to be in conflict with others because all we care about is ourselves and we don't really care about others. And we don't care about glorifying God. Jesus Christ has come, this doxology says, to deliver us from all of that. How wonderful is that work of Jesus Christ? But that's two of the words we've focused on. There's the third one, grace. Goodwill toward men. The idea of those words there is that there is peace for those on whom God's favor is placed, or there is peace for those to whom His grace is given. That goodwill there points us to the grace of God. The only hope we have of having peace with God is the grace of God. What's grace? Even you kids know it. Undeserved favor. It's the favor that God shows us that's completely undeserved. And the way we see that grace is in a death. It's in the death of Jesus Christ. We are guilty sinners. We're guilty sinners because we've stolen glory from God. We've shattered that peace with which man was created with God. And we are guilty because of that sin of Adam and because of our own sins. And in our own sinfulness, we would rather have glory for ourselves then give even one little bit of glory and praise to God. But we understand that God sent His Son in our flesh, and there He was in Bethlehem in a manger. But you don't understand the manger, and you don't understand His coming unless you understand that He came as a lamb. He came to pay for our sins. He came so that in all of His thoughts, desires, actions, and responses, He would fully, completely, and perfectly live to the glory of God. And then, in living to the glory of God on our behalf, He bore the punishment of our sins, bringing to us peace with God. In that, we see the grace of God. Not God's grace and favor. It's not a grace and favor to all men. The grace and favor of God to His people. That's the goodwill we celebrate today. That's why we joyfully celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can bring us peace and satisfaction and joy. Let's remember that. Reflect on that too. It cannot be found in this world. It cannot be found in the things of this world. It can't be found in me having my own way. None of that brings peace and joy. It leaves us miserable, like the miserable world in which we find ourselves. And you see that misery. In this so-called time of peace, how many angry people haven't you run into in the past few weeks? And by some smiles on your faces, I know it's true. Whether it's on the road or in the stores or in the malls or in the restaurants, there are a lot of impatient, miserable people out there right now. But we are not. We've been delivered from that misery. And because of that, we sing with the angels, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God for what He has done, for His work of grace in Jesus Christ. The angels here in these very words, in the words of grace and peace and glory, announce to us the only hope we have and our redemption in Jesus Christ. So we want to echo this very song in our lives each and every day. There's the announcement here in these words of the angels of how we are to live our lives. We are to live our lives to the glory of God. May we sing that today. May that be the song of our hearts as we remember the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest. And may that not just be our song here in worship, but may it be the song of our lives in everything that we do. May this be why we live the way we do in marriage. That's the danger for us in marriage. We take God out of it. It just becomes me and this other person and how he or she deals with me. It's not that. It's the glory of God. What does God say about how I am to live in this marriage? I want to glorify God in this marriage. That says something to us about our parenting. It's not just me and these kids. It's me before the face of God. And what does God say about how I'm to parent these kids? What am I to teach them? What am I to show them? That's also true at work. That's true in our relationships and in all of our friendships. But here's the struggle for us. We don't always live to the glory of God. We have this ongoing glory war that's taking place in our hearts and lives. And that's the question for us. For whose glory will we live? The song of the angels reminds us we are to live for the glory of God. We have a struggle here with the peace problem. We've said that. There's so much conflict sometimes in our own lives, and we'd like to say, well, it's because of others. I have to look at myself. Am I not living in peace because I don't truly understand the peace that I have with God? But we have a beginning of this. Jesus Christ gives us this beginning. The fullness is yet to come of peace, of living to the glory of God. But let us be reminded by these words today, this is what we are to live for. We are to live for the glory of God, and we are to live in peace with one another. Not fighting against God and His will for our lives, not fighting against one another, but instead loving God and loving and serving one another because we love this God who has sent His only begotten Son to save us. This morning in these words, the angels announce the hope that is ours. They announce our redemption. They announce to us the grace of God. They announce to us the peace that we have with God. They announce to us what it is that Jesus Christ works in us by His Spirit. What a beautiful song it is. Convicting song. Song that shows us our sin, but also shows us our hope and redemption and shows us how we are to live. May it be a warm and beautiful song that we sing and live in the whole of our lives. May we take it with us. We know it. When we were kids, we memorized it. And those words stick with us. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this song of the angels and for what it teaches us this morning. We're humbled by it. We confess that we don't live to glorify Thee like we should. In fact, often we're very good at pretending that we do. Well, Father, forgive that sin in us. Forgive us as well, Father, when we live in conflict with Thee and with one another. But we thank Thee for the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. May we be comforted by that. May we be comforted by the grace that Thou dost show to us in the death of our Savior Jesus Christ, which reconciles us to Thee and brings us peace with Thee, our God. And may we now have strength then to live to glorify Thy name and to live in peace, true peace and love with one another. All this we pray, trusting that Thou will work this in us and bless us in the rest of this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.